Interviews with Haunting Gurus.
All right, I have the proprietor. I can't call him a proprietor because he's not making money at it. But anyway, he's the owner and operator and haunter extraordinaire from the Catspurs Haunt. It's No Offense. Noah, how are you?
Okie doke.
Hey, Noah, it's funny because I think I hit you up to do an interview with us 3 or 4 years ago, and you're like, no, I think I'm going to pass on that.
Okay.
And I'm very persistent, so it only took me like 3 years later. I'm like, let's try him again. You are like somebody I always just wanted to chat with, you know, just to talk shop. And I'm like, let's hit him up again and see if we warmed up to him over the last 4 years or so. And
yeah, well, as you can tell, I'm not so like Skype savvy or. You know, all this whole video chat is new to me, so...
Yeah, I mean, this is all going to be audio anyway, so we don't...
Right.
we don't have too much to worry about. But,
all right.
But hey, you know what, that doesn't matter. I mean, like I say, it's not more of just like a couple of haunters hanging out, shooting the breeze, you know, over a couple of frosty lagers, and that's pretty much about it. All I want to do is I want to just ask you some questions about your haunt, about your haunt experience, man, you know, that kind of thing. So your haunt is the Catspurs Haunt.
Exactly, yep, Catspurs Haunt. But the website is thecreepyhousenextdoor.com.
Yeah, so if you want... That's where all your post pictures. You have some how-to stuff on there. You have some like picture galleries of the last how many years has it been?
Since 1996. Right, 1996. So we moved in the house in 1995, and then I started haunting in 1996.
And that's when you moved out of Brooklyn?
Exactly. Yep. Lived in Brooklyn for 8 years and in a small railroad apartment. And then as soon as we moved into the house, we had all that room in the basement. And that's where it all started.
So you didn't grow up in Brooklyn, though. Where'd you grow up?
No. Both my wife and I, we grew up in upstate New York, like up in the Saratoga area.
Saratoga. So then you moved down to Brooklyn. Why? Was it work?
No. We both into the arts and theater and everything. We always kept saying we always want to move into the city, the big city, you know. And finally, we have 1 year. We just said, you know what? Let's just do it. We're worst time to go down there, but we did. I mean, we were just married. We just had our first child. She was 2 years old, and we were in debt. And we just said, what the hell? Let's just go down and see what we can do.
How many years were you in the city before you said, you know, let's go out in the burbs? And
8 years. 8 years in Brooklyn, yeah.
Where is the haunt? Where's the homestead?
It's in Jersey. It's in Bergen County, New Jersey, which is northern Jersey, parallel to the George Washington Bridge, as far as in contrast to where the city is.
You must get a ton of kids then. You've got to be in a pretty populated neighborhood, I would imagine.
No, I mean, we're in a suburb. We're kind of like, we are between Hackensack and Paramus, which are big towns, but Maywood is a plop right in the middle. And we still get the average. Ever since from 96 until now, we get the average between 250 to 300 kids, and that's about it.
Oh, okay. So that's shit. I live on Cape Cod, and I get about that down here. And so,
yeah.
Okay. How did you end up getting into this back in 96? Like, you moved into this house, I guess, because you do this out of your basement mostly. I mean, you do do something outside, but you do like a little bit of a walkthrough basement type thing.
Right. See, so what happened was we moved there in 95, and then in 96, my daughter's birthday is November 3rd. So she was always our Halloween baby. And she was in the fourth grade, and then, I said, you know what, I wanted her to make friends and stuff, and, my wife but she was part of a theater company, and when we moved into this Jersey, house, we had all this room, and then, we decided that we could store the sets into our basement, but But that theater company disbanded, and I was ready to throw these sets out. But before I did, I decided in one of the major rooms in the basement, I did like this little maze with like fabric hanging down, black fabric. That's all it was. Very, very small maze for the kids for her Halloween party. Or it was a birthday Halloween party. That was 96. 97, we skipped, well, we didn't skip Halloween, but we went down to Disney World Universal. And then they had the haunt, you know, how they start the Halloween home haunt or whatever.
The not-so-scary Halloween thing?
Yeah. So we, you know, and then they had these haunted houses. And then we were going, they had only about three at the time. This is 97. And so we went through and my daughter was like saying, Dad, you could do this in the basement. And I thought about it. So 98.
A little haunter at heart.
Yeah. Well, she loved it. I mean,
you're like, you know, you are exactly right, honey. And we are going to do just that next year.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what it was. And then we were heavily into the Boy Scouts. And so then in 98, then I decided to do a little, you know, up it up, a, you know, going, moving into the next room into the basement, and I did a larger haunt for the Boy Scouts. And so then they came through, and then what was happening, there was such a commotion going on with the Boy Scouts. I mean, there was a lot of Boy Scouts out there. So some of the neighbors come by and say, what's going on in there? So I said, well, come inside. And again, then in 99, I finally discovered the internet. And I went online and started getting more ideas. I came across Evil Bob's. His website at the time was Rest in Peace or something like, or Rest in Pieces or something. And then also Iron Man's website. I went on there and I kept looking and I said, wow, there's other people doing this, you know. So I from there, you know, I started getting some ideas and building up a little bit more and then kept going each year.
You know what? I tell you, when I moved to my this house, my mom's, I bought my mom's house from her back in, yeah, it was around 99, 2000. I had never been on the internet before. I didn't know what it was. It was just like, oh yeah, I knew that there was this thing called the internet, but I didn't really ever go on it. I didn't have an email account. I remember my ex at the time, she was like, oh, you need to get an email account. And I'm like, I don't know why, but sure, sign me up for one, and whatever that is. And we had a high-speed internet connection because it was selling it in the neighborhood, and I'm like, I don't know why I need a high-speed internet connection because I've never had a low-speed internet connection.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why I need the cutting-edge internet, but yeah, sure. And then I discovered Napster, and I was like just downloading music like freaking crazy. Right. But, yep. You need to grab
my son. My son's getting it.
It's funny when you first discover this, where there's other people out there that are doing this stuff, and you've got all, and one idea can set you off on a tirade. Like you can, you know, go off in like 50 different directions from one simple thing just because you never thought of that, and then this one person showed you the possibility of something that you never thought of doing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, because I didn't discover my backyard until 2003. All this was always in my basement. Everything was in my basement. I never thought about putting anything outside. And then, you know, Kiba was doing her tombstones, and I said one year, I said, you know what, let me just do a graveyard, you know, and that's where it started. My tombstones were like wood. They were like plywood. That was it. And then I saw her doing stuff with the blue foam, and I said, hey, let me try that, and, you know, start building, you know, then you go into the PVC fence, you know, one thing after another.
You do set design. Is that what you have, over the years you've kind of gotten into doing some stuff at a local theater company? And
well, there you go. So then that's what started that because I was doing props with the in my basement. So my wife, she started theater company here in Jersey. And so then I said, okay. She said, hey, do you want to do the sets for my shows? Well, at first, the first show was Rocky Horror. And that's one of my biggest loves is Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I said, yeah, of course I'll do it. Not thinking that I was going to do it, you know, each show, you know. And she's like, and then the next show, she's like, hey, could you do it? I said, yeah, I'll do it, you know. And then from there, you know, kept going.
What else have you done?
There's a Little Shop of Horrors. There was Fences, Cabaret. I have to go into my website to look to remember. Yeah.
You know what? Go to Noah's website and you'll find it on there.
Yeah.
So other than that, like you've actually won a couple of awards over the years. You won the best indoor haunt in 2008 for the was that the Home Haunters Award? Was that when Prop Master ran it? Right,
because I was heavily into Halloween L, and that again, back in 1999, you know, going through Iron Man's website and some other websites, I was directed to Halloween L, and then Halloween L is really where you start getting all your ideas. You start talking to people and, you know, other haunters, and they have all these other ideas. What was I saying?
You know, it's funny, because when I kind of got involved with this, Halloween L, I guess it already had, like, peaked and was on the downswing.
Right. So it was just getting harder and harder to, you know, there was so many spam. It was just getting harder to email, you know. I think it was just harder for the...
because the Halloween L was more of a list, right?
Right. It was an email list. Right. So there's so many blockers and spam blockers and things like that that was preventing us from... you know, speaking to each other, you know, because that's what it was. You just send an email and it sent it to everybody, so everybody would see the email. So I think that's what was a downfall of the Halloween L.
What was L for? Love? Was that what that meant? Halloween
good,
L?
Good question.
That always confused me, and I've never been able to get to the bottom of that question.
Yeah.
But good you question. Can't answer it either. Okay, that's
nope.
All right.
Nope.
All right, not a problem. So you won, like I said, you did win the Best Indoor Haunt in 2008. Then you won the Best How-To Video for 2009. What was the How-To Video for?
That was for the Creep in the Can. And that was something that I made at our local New Jersey Make and Take, the Neptune chapter. I started that in 2006, and that's how I found Haunt Forum. I mean, I knew of Haunt Forum, and I knew Zombie F from the Halloween L. During the Halloween L and Zombie F, that was called, he called it the Unpleasant Street or something. That's what it was called.
It was the Unpleasant Street Forum originally,
right.
And he morphed it into Haunt Forum. Yeah.
Right, Haunt Forum, right. And then I started the, because most of these people were part of the Haunt Forum crowd. And then that's how I got hooked up with Haunt Forum. So then I was, you know, it actually took me a year to build this prop, because I brought the can down to Trisha Ann's house. That's where we all met down in Neptune. That's the town. The town's called Neptune. And I brought the can down there, and we were doing a pop-up. Everybody was doing a different thing with the pop-up, you know. It was from Jack Baird's website. That's where we got the idea from. And then I just took a different take on it, and I decided I always had in my head, I always wanted to have this little creeper popping out slightly out of the lid, just showing the eyes. That's all I wanted to do. And then I guess because I played it to music or something, because it was not really a I didn't talk about the on the video. I really didn't describe what was happening. It was just a simple video with using music and some text, and that was it. It was probably maybe like a 2-minute video. That's it.
You became somewhat active in Ironstock, especially towards the tail end of it, as you built the set for, I think, the final Ironstock 10 when they wrapped it up and they closed it down, right?
Yeah, that there's a big story on that one.
Well, we have time.
I mean, it was funny because they made the announcement in 2008 that 2009 was going to be the last Ironstock. So I was actually, my ride was with a gentleman named Phobos. He drove a hearse. That's what we did. We rode in a hearse down there and we came back in a hearse. And we had 15 hours to kill. So we started talking and we just kept talking. And we threw ideas back. You know, Iron Man had given us Friday nights. 1 year we did like a movie night where we actually screened back at the screen. You know, so each, there was two, I think it was 2007, 2008 that we had a movie night. So we said, we got to do something really, really big for 2009. And we kept going back and forth. And that's how the funeral, we thought of a funeral, you know, the you know, saying goodbye to Iron Stock. And we could have people come up and play music and sing songs and, you know, just tell stories about the good old days of Iron Stock and say goodbye to Iron Stock. So, and of course, I had all the materials because I belonged to this theater company. And then Phobos actually contributed 9 of the 4x8 panels. And then I bought all the foam. And I carved this in probably, 3 months. I did this in 3 months. And this was in the middle of my living room because we were under construction. We were under renovation. So my living room was a mess anyways. So I carved everything up, you know, with the, using a Dremel and foam. And then we packed it up. And then Phobos, in May, Phobos said, well, Noah, he says, I can't really make it to Ironstock. And I was like, what? And so he says, yeah, he had problems because of work situations. So I decided, I told my wife the news, and she says, well, we got to do this. And so we looked into hiring was a Penske truck, and to see what could fit, we put 9 4x8 panels in the back of this Penske van with my daughter and my wife in the front, and then me and my son in the back, and we did this for 15 hours driving to Tell City. And we just made it right on time. It was a long, long trip, but we were doing it out of love for Iron Stock. It's now, so hard to describe Iron Stock.
Now, how many times have you been there?
I started in 2005, and that was another funny story, too, because 2005, I believe it was our 25th wedding anniversary. It might have been. And it was the same year, 2005. Yes. And we were going down the West Side Highway, and we were talking, and I was telling my wife about Iron Stock and all this stuff. And she says, well, why don't we go? And I'm like, what? She says, well, yeah, why don't we go to Iron Stock? And I was like, really? You really want to go with a bunch of haunters? And she says, yeah, let's go, you know. And she says, that can be our, you know, our anniversary. And I was like, okay, if you want to do this. So we actually took a...
Hey. She's a keeper.
Exactly.
She's a keeper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, she loves it. Oh, everybody loves her. Oh, please. She made more of a statement there at Ironstock than I did. I'm kind of the shy guy, but, everybody knows Flea Babe.
So you've been out there. You've been out to, it was at least 5 Ironstocks.
That's right, 2005 to 2009, yeah.
2009, yep. And then you closed it out. You did some presentations there as well.
You know, he emailed me and he says, you know what? We need people. We need, people to fill in some space. And of course, I'm going to say yes. And because I was part of this make and take, I learned a lot of things. I learned about making skull molds. I learned about making wig heads, animatronics. And so that's what I was doing. It's not my idea, but I just wanted to carry it to other haunters to show other haunters what can be done.
No, yeah, it's not about like saying that you're the originator of of a specific, you know, type of prop or technique. It's just saying, hey, I learned this, and this is what I learned, and if you want to, you can learn this, you know, you take this from me, and then you can add on to it and develop it and make it bigger and better and whatever you want to do.
Right.
You're just passing on knowledge that you gained from other people, and, you know, people think you're a genius for it a lot of times, and you're like, no, I just picked this up from somebody else.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
And I found that interesting, too, because during this, you know, while I'm doing this demo, demo, and at the end of the demo, all these people kept coming up with questions, and it just felt kind of, you know, strange to me, because it wasn't a secret, you know, it was knowledge everywhere. But I guess it's because it's you're there in person, you know, people like to ask questions. So
yeah, it's not an ancient Chinese secret.
Right.
So I also heard recently that they were trying to do some kind of flashback Iron Stock thing. Are you headed to that, or what's your...
Of course. It's a reunion. And everybody's been looking forward to this. I found it hard to believe when I first heard it. I guess there was something buzzing around at one of the trans worlds. I thought it was maybe a joke. Not a joke, but just something, you know, gossip. And then when Iron Man officialized it and said, yes, it's happening, I was like, I am there. So I've been in communication with Iron Man quite often right now. This year, though, I really want to just sit back. I want to shake everybody's hand, because this will be my, I don't want to say my last time, but I keep doing that. Every year I keep saying I want to go and meet people. You know what I mean? I want to meet haunters. And then I go back and I look at pictures and they say, oh, this haunter was here. And I'm like, man, I wanted to meet that guy, you know? And so this year, that's what I want to do. I really want to go around shaking everybody's hand and meeting everybody and taking lots of pictures, taking lots of videos, because I like making a lot of the videos for a lot of the Iron Stock songs that they've made. They made a lot of parodies.
Oh, yeah. They have a great collection of stuff on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I thought it was kind of funny. I was looking back at your website, which I hadn't been on in about a year, and I had created a tar pit section of my haunt, which I had created I was trying to emulate a pumpkin rot style groundbreaker, and I had them out in front of Gray's, and I had three of them there, and I wasn't really happy with them. I'm like, okay, you know, I could have done a better job, but they were kind of good first paper mache groundbreaker type things. So I want to do something else with them, and I definitely need to beef them up for the weather because they're getting destroyed. So I need to cover them and coat them. And I saw your website and I came across your tar pit
creature, right?
Tar pit guy, and I said, the bulb went off. And I said, this is a great idea, because my whole haunt is based around like a Meyer type setup, where I said that would actually work really well. And maybe I could just take all those groundbreakers and make them into like tar pit guys.
Right.
And so that's what I did. And I wanted to give you credit for that I actually did steal the idea
from you
and your website for that section. And I've had people who constantly comment on my haunt videos saying, oh, I love that concept. I love the tar pit guys, where it came from you, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where did you get the idea for the tar pit guys?
So,
did you steal it from somebody else like I did?
Actually, no. And you know, and I did my research. I did look online, because I wanted to be inspired, and I kept looking. And I wanted to see if tar was a medium. And I was surprised to find out that tar was not a medium. And the reason why is because I was doing some repairs on the roof. And then, you know, you're being lazy and you're just throwing that tool on the ground. And then, you know, after 2 months lying on the ground, you decide, oh, I'll pick that up. And it was hard as a rock. And I was so surprised at how it turned hard. It wasn't soft. And so I said, you know, hey, let me try this. And I was talking to my boss at one time, and I says, oh, yeah, I can make one of my props, and I'll seal it with tar. And he goes, well, why don't you just make a tar pit? And I'm like, oh, my God, that's a great idea. And I wish I did take it to your level. I just never did. I guess I was satisfied with the couple of pieces I did. And then, of course, after a couple years doing it, I decided, that's old. And so, but when I saw what you did, I said to myself, that's what I wanted to do. That's the kind of level I want to bring it to, you know, and I just never did.
Oh, so you actually saw my haunt.
Of course.
Dude, I don't know what people see. I don't know what people look at or not, you know?
It's funny because I'm not, you know, I try to watch videos. I try to go and take a look at what people do. I just wish I could do it more often.
There's so much out there, though.
Exactly.
You'd be there forever. Anything new that you have coming up this year or... Like new projects you're working on, stuff like that?
I am in a slump right now. I've been doing the Creepy Family for, three or four years now. The trick-or-treaters, they come, they see it as new. You know what I mean? Each year, they think it's different every year, I guess. But I see it as the same. The maze has been the same. I just changed it up a little bit. I'll change one of the characters somewhere else, or I changed the lighting somewhere else. In my head, I would love to do something like a creepy swamp or creepy forest, and really, really go heavy with, like, make it very organic. Lots of limbs, lots of trees, and things like that. And this is all...
When I started doing this, I didn't have a direction. I didn't have a focus of where I wanted to take the haunt, what I wanted to do. And I was just thinking, hey, just make a prop, make this prop, make that prop. I finally got to a point where one of the segments on our show is called Theater of the Mind, done by Revenant, and he was talking about having a theme and really seeing your haunt and having a backstory. And I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense, because even if you don't talk about your backstory, if you just incorporate the backstory into what you're doing, like you have a focus and a drive and you have something, you're creating this whole presentation around this backstory. So I said, you know, that's what I need to do. I need to come up with a name. I need to have a theme. I need to have a backstory. The backstory can change slightly, but the overall theme is still... The essence of it is still kind of the same. And I think my biggest inspiration was coming from, you know, from that pumpkin rock, which was more organic. It was more swampy. It was more dirty and grimy. And it had that natural look to it. And I said, I really love that feel. Like, that feel is something different. Because a lot of people do haunts, and they do, and I'd like to say, I'm not saying that there's anything bad about this, but it seems to be a lot of, like, graveyards, tombstones, skulls, you know. I wanted to have something that had a little bit of its own character to it, you know? And... Because then that drives you and moves you forward.
Yep.
And when you have that something... So I just started working and building my haunt towards that... engineer splicing, you know, people together, or biochemical. It has like a little crossover of that kind of stuff, but it has this kind of organic feel to it, and once you have that direction, it fires you up to move you forward. And I think maybe that's what you're looking for, is that new thing that just fires you up and moves you forward in that one direction.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's what it is. It's like I'm stuck on a theme, and I'm saying, okay, I could do this in the basement, but how can I branch it out into the outside to make it, you know, cohesive.
So any particular mediums you like to work with that you have more fun with than others, or anything you're looking to get into over the next year or so?
Well, like I said, I think I've been, my last creation, I guess, it was the pig mask, and I made that out of paper mache. That was done through the make and take. My job changed. And because of that, I haven't been doing the make and take for a year. And again, make and takes are so important, people. It just, if you're doing this every month, it just gets your juices flowing. And it's a perfect example. I was doing this since 2006. I stopped for 1 year, and I just kind of I was in a slump because I wasn't participating, because they meet every Saturday. And my job I had a job that I had to work on a Saturday, so I stopped going to the make and takes.
I'm with you. I work Monday through Saturday now, and I work every Saturday. And Vic Barito from the Ghoulie Manor, you know, the guy was on American Scream.
Right.
He has one up at his place almost at least once or twice a month now, and he's like, you really need to get up there. And I'm like, you know, I really would like to go. It's only about an hour drive. It's not that big of a deal. But right. I work every step. So by the time I get out of my, I close up my shop and then drive up there, it's 4 or 5 o'clock. They're already done with all that shit.
Right.
I catch them for the drinking and hanging out and bullshitting aspect of it. But there's no work being done at all. I would just go, right. You know. So, you know, it's just. Whatever. I need to do more of that, and I want to get back into doing more of that. But so the New Jersey Maker Takes is still going strong. We used to promote them all the time on the show.
Yeah. Yep. They're still doing it. Now they changed. Now Trisha Ann moved down to North Carolina somewhere, and then now it's being held in Wayne. That's a little north of me.
As you are a Rocky Horror fanatic, you have a separate website that's for your Rocky Horror fanaticism.
Yes,
whatever.
And that yes. Which I kind of slacked off on that too. I have so much stories with Rocky Horror. I started it, and again, with any other kind of blog or vlog, whatever you want to call it, you know, I just never kept it up. But yeah, that's where me and my wife met. We met at the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I was Brad, and we were part of the cast. I was Brad, and she was Magenta, and I have to thank Rocky Horror for that. I mean, that's what started my family, meeting her and having my kids, and it's an amazing movie.
Okay, so if they want to go over there and check out that blog site, it's the Rocky Horror /nooffense.blogspot.com.
I believe so, yes.
Woo! All one word. And if they want to go to your website, where are they going to go just to check out like your props and all that other stuff?
Yeah, it's www.thecreepyhousenextdoor.com.
All right, Noah, it's great to have you with us, and we will catch you around the net.
Thank you.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunted and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.